I'm going to preach on the Christmas star tonight, but before we get there, I want to just make some comments about stars in general. Remind you of four different things about not only the Christmas star, but all the stars that we can look out and see in the heavens, and even the ones we can't see. The first thing I would remind you of, and don't count these as points or else you'll get discouraged. These are just introductory remarks, okay? First thing I would remind you of is that God made the stars. He did it on the fourth day of creation. We can read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, where the Bible says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night." And listen to this, "He made the stars also." So God made the stars. Second thing I would remind you of about stars is that he set them in the place where he wanted them to be. Genesis 1:17, the next verse. "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven." God created each star on purpose. He had a spot in the heaven that he wanted that star to occupy. He wanted that star to shine from. And so he set them in the heaven. You see, the stars are not where they are just by accident. They're not just where they are by coincidence. I mean, we look up and we've named constellations that consist of stars. And we can trace, if you know what you're doing, you can trace the shapes of the different constellations. All that was part of God's plan. All that was God's doing. He set them exactly in the exact spot in the heavens where he wants them to be. Third thing I would remind you is that God made the stars, set them in the place where he wanted them to be for one purpose, to shine. To shine. Again, let me read the rest of Genesis 1:17, where the Bible says, "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." The only way they could give light upon the earth was to do what God created them to do, shine. And so he made them. He set them in the exact spot in heaven where he wanted them to be. He put them there to give light upon the earth to shine. And then the fourth thing I would remind you of, he knows their names. In the book of Psalms 147, verse 4, "He telleth the number of the stars." He knows exactly how many there are. We look up. Now, you know, sometimes up here you get in the lights, you can't see many of them, but you get someplace, you know, where there's no lights, you get out in the where there's no street lights and not a lot of city lights or house lights, and on a clear night you look up to heaven and you just see multitude and multitude of stars. In fact, God told Abraham, he said, "Hey, if you can count the stars in the heaven, you'll know how many descendants I promise you." Of course, Abraham couldn't. No man can do it, but God knows the exact number. And listen to the rest of the verse. "He calleth them all by their names." So he made the stars. He put them in the exact spot where he wanted them to be. He told them to shine, to give light upon the earth, and he knows each of their names. Now, something special was about to happen. God was about to fulfill a prophecy. He was about to keep a promise. And as part of keeping that promise, as part of fulfilling that prophecy, he had a need to get a group of men from point A to point B. He needed to get them from where they were to where they needed to be so that they could deliver some gifts to a young couple that was going to take a trip. They did not know they were going to take a trip yet. They had not planned to take a trip. In fact, they were already on a trip when these men would appear to them. But God was going to send them on another trip. He was going to send them to the land of Egypt, and they needed some finances, some resources to make that trip. And so he had these men set up with some gifts that he needed to get from where they were to where they needed to be so that they could present this young couple with and this little baby boy, the Christ child. They could present him with their gifts. Now, these men had been looking for a sign from God. They had studied the Old Testament, the book of Daniel in particular. They had read the prophecy that Daniel included about the birth of the Messiah. They counted the years from the events that Daniel said, so many years after this happens, the Messiah is going to come. They knew the time was approaching. And so they began to look to the heavens. They knew God was about to keep his promise. So they began to look for a sign from God that the promise indeed was fulfilled. So to tell them that he had kept his promise, to get them where they needed to be, God made a star. Now I referred to it earlier by the name that I call it, the Christmas star. I don't know the name that God gave to it. He gave all the other stars names. And I'm sure he gave this special star a name. And he set it in its place in heaven. And the Christmas star shined, just like God made it to do. These men, we know them as the wise men, the magi. They saw this special star. They followed it. In fact, it led them to Jerusalem, to the capital city of the Jews. And they came to the king, because if anybody would know about the new king that was being born, it would be the old king, or thought so they reasoned. And so they came to Herod, and they asked the question that we read in verse 2 a minute ago, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, I want to talk about that star in a minute, but before I do, listen. Listen. I was thinking about it. Let me remind you of some other things. First of all, I would remind you that God made us. Now you might say, "Now, just a minute, preacher. I wasn't made, I was born. I am the product of a dad and a mom." And yes, I would agree with you, you are a product of a dad and mom, but I would remind you tonight that you were made by God just as much as he made Adam and Eve. He used some dirt and dust to make Adam. He used Adam's rib and some flesh that was around it to make Eve. And so it was just as easy for him as he used dirt and as he used Adam's rib. It was just as easy for him to use a dad and a mom to make you. You are made by God just like the stars. And he didn't just make you a person. He made you a Christian. And I don't use the word made to imply make. God never made anybody to be a Christian against their will. Every single person has free will. Every single person has the opportunity to accept Christ or deny him. But he made you a Christian in that he did everything necessary for you to become a Christian. He paid the debt of your sin on Calvary's cross when he sent his son to die in our place. He dealt you enough faith to believe in Jesus Christ. And then when you received him, he accepted you into his family. That's why Ephesians 2:10, just think about all that. The fact that he made your life, the fact that he made you a Christian, and then think about Ephesians 2:10, which comes right after verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," where the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus." We are his workmanship. He made us. He made us as a person, as a human being. He made us as a Christian. We were made by God, just like the stars were. Just like the stars were. I would remind you, second of all, that God has set us in the place he wants us. Do you ever stop to think why you live where you live? And I know we ask people, say, "Well, why do you live up here?" "Well, I live up here because of my job," or "I live up here because my family's up here." And that's what they may think. But for Christians, you know why we live where we live? Because that's where God put us. That's where God placed us. You don't live in this area by coincidence. You don't live in this area as a result of a series of circumstances. You are here because God has set you in this place. Just as much as he led Abram from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan, he led you to this place, instructed you to take up residence in this place, and just as much as he set the stars in the exact spot in heaven that he wanted them to be, he made you, just like he did the stars, and set you in the exact spot that he wants you to be. Third thing I remind you of, he knows our name. I could stop right here and spend the rest of the night. I'm not, because I got a lot more I want to say, but this just excites me. God knows our name. We're not just a number to him. He knows us as, he knows everything about you. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on your head. Now, for some of us, it's getting easier for God to keep track of. But for others, he still has a job. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. He knows our name. And then the fourth thing I would remind you of, he made us. He set us in the place that he wants us to be for one reason, to shine. To shine. Let me go ahead and read the rest of the verse that I read, started a minute ago, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God made us. We are his workmanship. Again, made us not only a person, but a Christian. That's why he says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And you couple that with that verse 16 in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God made the Christmas star. He set it in its place to shine so that men from the east could come to the Christ child and worship him. God made you and I. He put us in the place that he wants us to be to shine so that men can see our good works and come to our Father and glorify him. Isn't God good? Isn't he good? So what should we do? Knowing that he made us just like the stars, knowing that he put us in our place, that he wants us to be just like the stars, knowing that he made us to shine just like the stars, what should we do? So I'm to my sermon now. Number one, we ought to shine. We ought to shine. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. He said, men don't light a light. They don't light a candle to put it under a bushel. They put it on a candlestick so it gives light to all that are in the house. And what we need to realize tonight, that as the light of the world, we are not the source of that light. Jesus Christ is. Our job is just to reflect his light. Our job is to reflect him. Now, how do we do that? How do we reflect the light? I mean, he is the light of the world. He says, you're the light of the, he said to us, you're the light of the world. Now, and he knew that we have no source of light in ourselves. He's the source of our light. He says, I just want you to reflect me. I want you to reflect my light. How do we do that? First of all, we keep ourselves pure and clean. You know, a dirty reflector doesn't reflect much light. It doesn't. I mean, a reflector is made out of shiny stuff. And the light hits that shiny stuff and reflects. When that shiny stuff is covered with mud and covered with dirt and covered with filth, it doesn't reflect very much. It doesn't shine very bright. We need to live our lives in such a way that our reflector is clean. We need to live our life in such a way that if dirt gets on there, it doesn't stay very long. If dirt gets on there, we need to bathe in this book. If dirt gets on there, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, like David did, to cleanse us from all our sin. We need to keep our reflector clean, our life clean, so that we can reflect His light. How do we shine? And again, if you're counting points, if you're taking notes and counting points, I know you're getting discouraged. You're going to say, how many you got tonight? That's why I didn't number them. I didn't want to get you discouraged. But how do we shine? Second of all, we shine by making sure there is nothing between us and the light of the world. Do you know what they call it when something comes between the source of light and something that's supposed to reflect it? You know what? They have a term for that. You know what it is? An eclipse. An eclipse is when something comes between the source of light and something that is supposed to reflect that light. An eclipse of the moon, for example. The moon is not a source of light. The moon is just a great big reflector that reflects the light of the sun. And when the earth comes between the sun and the moon, what do we call it? We call it an eclipse. There's too many Christians that are living an eclipse kind of life. There's too many Christians that have let things get between them and their source of life, light, Jesus Christ. And it's affecting how they shine. And we need to say, like the songwriter Charles A. Tinley, we need to say this: nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Nothing between, like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all. There's nothing between. Nothing between, like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved. There's nothing between. Nothing between, even many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll triumph at last. There's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. How do we shine? We keep our reflector, our life, clean. We make sure there's nothing between us and the light of the world. And then, thirdly, we get as close to Jesus as we can. We get as close to Him as we can. You want to know how to shine bright? I mean, yeah, we need to keep ourselves clean. We need to make sure there's nothing between. But the closer we get, the brighter we shine. The closer we get to our Savior, the brighter we can be a light in this world. So, what should we do? Number one, we need to shine. Number two, we need to shine where God put us. Again, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child." You know, God has put you in this place for a purpose. God has put you in this place for a reason. And usually the purpose and usually the reason is this: there's somebody that needs to see your shine. There's somebody that needs to see your good works. There's somebody that you can point to God, and that they and they can come to know Him. Wherever He leads you, where he sends you. There's somebody there, again, that needs to see how you're living your life. There's somebody there that needs to notice your testimony. There's somebody there that will come to Christ if you'll be what you need to be and shine like you need to shine. So what should we do? We need to shine, number one. Number two, we need to shine where God put us. And number three, we need to shine till God tells us to stop. Till God tells us to stop. Let me ask you something. You probably never thought about this before. What happened to the Christmas star? That star that appeared on the scene at exactly the right time for the wise men to know that God had kept his promise. That star that led them from the east to Jerusalem, first to Jerusalem, and then to wherever the house where Jesus was. I don't know if he was still in Bethlehem or if they were in back in Nazareth at that point. I don't know. Maybe they were still in Bethlehem, and not in the stable anymore, but in a house. But that star shined. But once it got the wise men to where Jesus was, its function, its job, its duty was done. What happened to it? Did it go just take its place in a spot in heaven? I don't think so. And again, I can't give you a verse and chapter and verse to say this. This is just what your preacher thinks. I think when that star got done, God said to that star, "Hey, little star, come back to heaven. Come back to heaven. You did what I made you to do. You served your purpose. Come back to heaven." How long should we shine? Till God tells us to stop. When will he tell us to stop? When he does the same thing he did to that little star. Hey, you got your job done. Come on home. Come on home. You did what I made you to do. You accomplished what I wanted you to accomplish. You did it fine. You did it well. Come on home. You know, it's easy to share Christ at Christmas. After all, there's a lot of people, not everybody, some people don't put Christ in Christmas at all, but there's a lot of people that turn their attention to Bethlehem, turn their attention to the manger, turn their attention to the Christ child, and are reminded of the great love that God showed to mankind when he sent Jesus to the earth to take the form of a man. It's a little baby to come and grow and to die on the cross for us. And so in the month of December, around Christmas, people have an open ear, and it's easy for us as Christians to share what Christ has done for us. Well, what about January and February? Doesn't the world need to know Jesus then, too? What about March, April, and May? Don't men and women and boys and girls need a light to direct them in those months as well? What about the summer? What about June, July, in August? I mean, the heat of the season ought to remind us that hell is real and that men and women and boys and girls that die without Jesus Christ are going to go to a Christless eternity where there's no hope of getting out. Once they walk into hell, there's no chance. They need Jesus in the summer just as much as they do in the month of December. What about the fall? What about September, October, November? Sin caused man to fall. They fell away from God. They need somebody to shine, to point them to the one that can pick them up from their fallen state and restore their relationship to God. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." And by the way, let's not be weary in well-doing. That's doing the good works that God created us to do. So let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I know you're not supposed to add words to the Word of God, but just give me a little liberty tonight. Let me add two words to that verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we shine and faint not. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's shine. Let's shine. Let's shine where in the place that God put us. Let's shine until He calls us home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it conveys to us. And I pray tonight that, Holy Spirit, you would just speak to our heart. You would remind us of why we were created and why we were saved. I know that God loves. I know that you love us. I know you love us more than maybe we'll ever understand. Even when we've been in heaven for 10,000 years, I think we'll just begin to understand the depth of love that you have for us. But Father, you just didn't save us to sit. You just didn't save us to do nothing. You saved us to work. You saved us to shine. I pray you'll help us do that. Holy Spirit, help us to keep our life clean. Help us to not let anything come between us and our Savior. Help us to get as close to Him as we can and shine, shine, shine. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know the light of the world, that tonight they would see their sin and they would come to the Savior. Most, if not all of us tonight here are Christians. And again, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just do in our life to help us be that star that shines like you want us to be. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.